evening. Senate, please come to order, and members, please vote yes to signify their presence.
The roll shows 20 members present.
Thank you. Would members please stand for the invocation this evening by our chaplain, Lindy Stoops.
Our dear Father in heaven, we are grateful to be gathered here as this special session end draws near. We express our gratitude to thee for the everyday freedoms we enjoy in our country. We are especially grateful for the privilege to express our particular views and opinions. We ask thee to bless this legislative body who are here to serve our fellow Alaskans. May they be inspired on this day to vote their conscience, as well as to make the best decisions for the people of Alaska. We pray that thou will bless those who speak on this day with the spirit of unity. All of these things I say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Senator Huggins, please lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. The move and ask unanimous consent that the most appropriate prayer be spread upon the journal.
Thank you. Without objection, that prayer shall be spread on the journal. Brings us to the certification of the journal. Secretary, please certify the journal.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 27th legislative day.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Secretary.
Thank you. Without objection, the journal shall be approved as certified by the Secretary. Brings us to introduction of guests. Guests for introduction this evening? Seeing none, brings us to messages from the Governor.
Message dated June 5th, stating I have read the following resolution passed by the second session of the 24th Alaska State Legislature and am transmitting it to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. CS for House Grant Resolution Number 27, Military and Veterans Affairs, Allotments for Native Vietnam Veterans. Legislative Resolve Number 37. A declaration of disaster emergency to cover fire suppression costs dated June 6, 2006, with an accompanying letter was received. The declaration and letter had been copied to the Finance Committee for care. I have no further messages from the Governor.
Thank you. Bring us the message from the House.
Confirm message dated June 6, stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill Number 2001 Finance with the following amendments. House CS to CS for Senate Bill Number 2001, Finance Amended House, Oil and Gas Tax, and it is returned for consideration. In the event the Senate does not concur, the Speaker appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate. Representative Samuel Chair, Representative Kelly Sisula.
Senate concur in the House amendment to CS for Senate Bill 2001, Finance, and recommend the Senate vote no.
Thank you. The motion before us is for the Senate to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 2001. Is there debate? Senator Ellis, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be a yes vote for concurrence tonight. My political instincts tell me that this version of the bill before us, with this tax rate, this floor, this escalator, is probably the best bill in terms of the state's interest and the state's bottom line that this legislature may be capable of producing. That's just what my instincts tell me, that this is probably worthy of debate here on the floor tonight as a committee of the whole, worthy of support to bring finality to this issue that was the purpose in most part for this first special session. I was an advocate for a 25% tax rate based on what the executive branch's expert and the legislative branch's independent experts had recommended as the least state government take. In terms of the tax rate, there was a floor. That's not perfect, but it's there. There's an escalator. So my instincts, again, Mr. President, tell me that this is the best deal that this legislature is capable of producing in terms of the state's bottom line during this special session. And that's the task we were given to complete. So though it's not all I'd hoped it would be, I think this is the best product that we can achieve before the end of the legislative session. So I believe that we should be having the debate here tonight with the committee of the whole on this version of the bill. And that's why I will be voting yes.
Thank you. Further discussion on the vote on concurrence to the House Amendments to Senate Bill 2001? Thank you. Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House Amendments to Senate Bill 2001, thus adopting the House version of Senate Bill 2001? Members, please proceed to vote. every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
8 yeas, 12 nays.
So the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment. This time I will appoint the conference committee will be Senator Stedman will be chair, member will be Senator Huggins and Senator French. Would the Secretary please notify the House clerk requesting the House to recede in their amendment? Thank you. Brings us to communications.
The following report has been received. 2005 Alaska Railroad Corporation Annual Report from Patrick Gamble, President and CEO, in accordance with AS 4240-260. I have no further communication.
I see no report to standing committees, special committees, no Senate resolutions or Senate bills. Brings us to the daily calendar.
CS, the Senate Bill Number 2004, Natural Gas Development, an act relating to the Alaska Standard Gas Development Act, including clarifications of provision of additional authority for the development of standard gas fiscal contract terms, making a conforming amendment to the revised Uniform Arbitration Act relating to municipal impact money received under the terms of a standard gas fiscal contract, relating to determination of full and true value of property and required contributions for education in municipalities affected by standard gas fiscal contracts and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Senate Bill 2004 is before its third reading, final passage. Is there debate? Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to the bill and would make a few comments to explain my vote and to encourage others to vote no also. The bill before us has huge changes to the Surrender Gas Act approved by previous legislature. And many of these changes, I believe, have yet to be adequately. I also believe that the bill before us is before us prematurely. We're considering this bill prior to completion of negotiations on any of the LLCs, prior to the completion of the public hearing process, and prior to, I believe, prior to the finalization of the contract. I just note, for example, that we're still debating this body, one of the major elements of the contract, PPP, and whatever PPP this body adopts, if we adopt one, may require further changes to the contract. I voted no on this bill in committee, and I'll tell you why I did it in committee. There are several reasons. Just would note that Section 2 is one of the reasons, because Section 2 gives the revenue commissioner, this commissioner or future revenue commissioner, powers never imagined. The previous legislature approved the Surrender Gas Act that is now law. And in fact, one of the consultants to the legislature said that the powers of the commissioner seem to be limited only by the commissioner's imagination. Some of the examples that the consultant gave us was the authorities the commissioner may have could include revisions to oil and gas leases, revisions to unit agreements, potentially revisions to the compact governing the Northfield merger, potentially revisions to existing field cost settlements in the Prudhoe Bay unit, and potentially even revisions to the tariff settlement agreement for TAP. This is my list of potential authorities that the commission may have. This is a list that was suggested by consultant Jim Easton, the former division director for the Division of Oil and Gas. Section 3, our consultant suggests, may authorize the commissioner to change oil royalty agreements. Section 4 could allow our consultants, say that they could allow the commissioner to change existing law that governs taking royalty oil in kind or in value. I'd say this is an important component for us to consider because if, for example, we pass a PPP that's different than the one negotiated between the producers and the state, this authority would allow negotiators to look for other sweeteners that they can put in the contract. Section 5 provides a blanket waiver of the state's sovereign immunity, not even a case-by-case waiver, but a blanket waiver, Section 7 establishes that the terms of the contract that I don't think is in final form, but is in draft form, that the terms of the contract can trump existing DNR statutes and regs and greatly extend authorities that are not granted in the current Stranded Gas Development Act. The current Stranded Gas Development Act allows only limits to timing and notice provisions. This goes far beyond that. Section 7 goes far beyond that. Section 11 is a new section. It was adopted in the special committee. And it freezes the legislature's taxing authority for 14 years. And then after the end of that freeze, provides that the commissioner can balance material changes to taxes by offering economic concessions through the contract so that if there's a material change in the tax rate, the companies can be held harmless by economic incentives that can be negotiated by the commissioner. Now, before Mr. President, it was the governor that was suggesting that we limit the legislature's authority to tax. And we all know that the constitutional issues are, you know, we've had a lot of discussion in fact, we passed a previous bill that allows that question to be answered in a relatively rapid manner by the state Supreme Court. Now, with this section, now it's the legislature saying that we're going to apply the handcuffs to ourselves. And I just note, the issue isn't when we apply the handcuffs. The issue isn't whether we wear the handcuffs for 12 years or 14 years or 30 years. The issue is the constitutionality of the handcuffs themselves. Section 12, Mr. President, is a curious, but I find kind of a scary provision. Section 12 allows for a qualified project plan not agreed to by the state when the contract is signed. Because this section allows the qualified project plan can be amended in the future over the objection of the state. It was in testimony to the special committee, there was a hypothetical question that was offered to the three of the consultants that the legislature has. And that hypothetical question was, is there a scenario under which the producers could delay beginning construction of the gas pipeline until 2025? Hypothetical. And the answer seems to be, yes, that could be possible. It could be possible for several reasons. It could be possible because the producers can amend the plan without our approval. We'd have to arbitrate that plan or that plan decision under rules that significantly, for example, limit discovery by the state. The arbitrator can find in favor of the producer. If the producers use errors in judgment when they drafted the plan, and the state would have to prove that the construction delay, at any point in time, that the construction delay wasn't prudent under the circumstances. And of course, you could have a spreadsheet that prudently says that, hey, wait a minute, the producers will make more money if they wait until 2025 to begin construction of the plan. That is a prudent decision. The arbitrator could therefore find it. And during that whole period of time, the concessions that we've offered on royalty and on taxes are in effect. Mr. President, I've spoken to some of the elements in the bill that can tell me to vote no, and I'm not going to bore the body by talking about a lot of elements that aren't in the bill that should be in the bill. I think the elements that are in the bill ought to give us pause. I would note once again in summary that I think the bill is before us prematurely, haven't finished public hearing, don't have a final contract, haven't seen any of the charter agreement for LLCs. And I would just finally note in summary also, Mr. President, that there are many things in this bill that haven't been explained satisfactorily by the executive. So I would encourage a no vote by my colleagues.
Thank you. Senator Bundy, further debate is passage of Senate Bill 2004.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I was present at those same hearings. And beauty of a bill is in the beholder. That is certainly a given. We've been blessed or cursed with dueling experts. To quote an old saw, I suppose if we laid all our experts end to end, we still wouldn't reach a conclusion. But there are, I'm sure there are some of us who study this bill for the rest of their legislative career and not ever be completely happy with it. Others probably are find more value in some of the things that are in the bill. But it is a, like all legislation, a living document. It will undoubtedly grow and change as things go on. Most importantly, I think we have to remember it is a single step toward what the ultimate goal that we all will have an opportunity to deal with, and that is the approval eventually of a gas line or disapproval of a gas line contract. So a simple step, and so to quote the minority leader, at some point we have to take all the input from the dueling experts, and then when we come to public policy votes, vote our instincts. My instinct is to move forward with this bill at this time and vote yes.
Thank you. Further discussion? Thank you, Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't want to discuss the entire bill because we had 5 days worth of hearings on it at quite some extent, of which in the special committee, 12 of the members are there and the doors in them, and the microphone was open to any member to be able to propose amendments to the bill and to talk about the bill and speak to the pluses and minuses of the bill. But there is one part, and I don't think that this was the intent of the senator from Juneau to imply that we would knowingly do something which would violate the Constitution of the state of Alaska, which each one of us has sworn to uphold as part of our oath of office. And I would just call your attention, Mr. President, to Section 11, which is on page 6 of the bill. And in that one section relating to the period of the contract that's covered by that subsection, and let me explain that subsection. 14 years. Well, what we did in that committee is we said there is no certainty on oil taxes until you've come to the point of sanction. And the best estimate that we could find was that's 4 years into the process. No certainty. The PPT bill that passes can be amended in that period of time, can be changed in that period of time. If we're surprised at the result, we can come back and take a look at what we meant to do or what we thought we were doing at that point in time, because it is somewhat of a difficult bill to understand. So for the first 4 years of the life of the contract, a fiscal contract, not a pipeline construction contract, but a fiscal terms contract, there's no certainty. Then, our estimates show that that we get from the experts is that it'll take about another 6 years before the pipeline will be built, before first gas goes down that pipe, somewhere between 5 and 6 years. And in that period of time, there may be mistakes made. We may order the steel only to find out inadvertently that we made an error. We should have ordered it earlier in order because there was a delay in getting it done. So we're not going to hold somebody responsible for that error in judgment that we should have ordered the steel first or earlier. But it will then be in that 14-year period of time, we've taken the first 6 years to build the pipe. And that we said in that period of time, we will establish those and hold those taxes at that point with as much certainty as the Constitution of the state of Alaska allows. With as much certainty as the Constitution of the state of Alaska allows. Now, there's a debate as to how much that is. Senator to my right over here has published a nice white paper for us to take a look at, as well as other, the Attorney General and a number of other people. We don't know yet what that certainty is. But the stranded gas itself, one of the purposes was to to provide fiscal terms with stability for with as much certainty as the state constitution of the state of Alaska allows. Then there's 9 years. 9 years where we hope that the price of gas will allow them to recover their capital expenditure and not affect the economics of the deal. That's the term that it's frozen. Four, no certainty. Six, to build the pipe. And 9 more to recover your capital expense with as much certainty as the Constitution of the state of Alaska allows. So I don't believe that my friend from Juneau intended to say that we were intentionally trying to violate the Constitution of the state of Alaska, because the plain language says otherwise. We want to offer a term of stability for that period of time to build the pipe and to recover the capital expense without affecting the economics of the deal, and that's all we're offering. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Do we have further discussion on the passage of Senate Bill 2004? Thank you, Senator French. Good evening.
Mr. President, good evening. And I want to thank the senator to my left for even noticing it. There's a lot of paper going around the building, and I appreciate that my white paper rose to his attention. I thank him for that. The issue I do want to discuss tonight is the matters raised by Section 11, the 14-year lock-in of oil tax rates. Let me address one question first, Mr. President. There's been lots of discussion that we should just set this constitutional question off and let a court decide. But if you look at issues carefully and you come to a reasoned decision, you can keep yourself from taking the first step we're being asked to take, because I believe it's the first step down a wrong path. It'd be just like this, Mr. President. It'd be just like if there were a rash of handgun deaths in my community, and we decided, rightly or wrongly, that the thing to do in reaction to that was to ban handguns in the city of Anchorage. And when someone came to us and said, well, you can't do that, there's a right to bear arms in the Constitution. If I came back and said, or someone came back and said, no, we're gonna ban handheld bullet projectiles. And that's okay, and we'll just let a court decide if that's constitutional. Well, it's plainly not constitutional. We would be wasting our time to say, let's let a court decide something that we all know is going to be held unconstitutional. I spent a lot of time on this question. I'm going to talk for just a few minutes tonight about why I am so certain that the Supreme Court of the state of Alaska will disallow any tax certainty that lasts beyond the length of any given legislature. And the reason I'm so certain is that it is right there in front of us, in black and white, in our Constitution right now today. We all know what the scope of the debate is. We all know that there's a provision in our Constitution that says you can't surrender the power of taxation except as provided in this article. And then you go to the exceptions part and you say, well, all right, how do we get out of it? And the exemptions article is really about property tax exemptions. It's about charitable and educational and religious property tax exemptions. It's the section of the Constitution we've used to give senior citizens a property tax break. And then there's one crucial sentence, the sentence that we're putting all of our eggs into that basket. And the sentence says this: other exemptions of a like or different kind may be granted by general law. That's it. No one has pointed to any other part of the Constitution that says you can do this long-term tax deal. That's the sentence everybody relies on. If that sentence turns out to be a mistake, we have spent years in error. And the reason it's obviously a mistake is that general law means, and the court has told us over and over, general law is a statute. General laws are what we pass every time we sit down here to do business. If you try to do something, either by a contract or by a statute, that lasts longer than the length of time that any given statute can last, it is not constitutional. It's not a general law. It is a matter of simple logic, and I've got 26 pages that only a lawyer could spin out to try to explain that fairly simple concept. The state of Alaska, our Alaska Supreme Court said the basis for a home rule charter may be either a constitutional grant of authority, a general law enacted by the state legislature, or a combination of both. They've used that definition in several other instances. A general law is a statute, Mr. President. When you wisely put the words in here that the payment in lieu of taxes may be established with as much certainty as the Constitution of the State of Alaska allows. That's a good idea to put in there, but what the answer you're going to get is going to be an answer that lets the producers back out of this deal. It's going to be an answer that says that's 2 years. And they are not going to agree to this. And we should not be, we should either get them to change their minds or we should start dealing with someone who doesn't need this kind of certainty, like TransCanada or AGPA. Those are entities that are willing to do this without this kind of tax certainty. Just like we built the Alaska oil pipeline without tax certainty. But this is a mistake. Serious mistake. And I can't vote for it. Thank you.
Further discussion on the passage of Senate Bill 2004, Senator Terrio?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be voting against 2004 tonight. Just wanted to make a couple comments and explanation why. The first speaker mentioned the section in here that gives sweeping authority to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. And I think that's a section that up in the mega committee, as we're calling it, there wasn't a whole lot of discussion up there. There was a lot of discussion on the section that dealt with collateral agreements. And because of the questions that came up, that section actually was pulled from the bill. And the administration, my understanding, has indicated that they understand that there needs to be answers to that. I did work on an amendment that proposed to take the public comment period from a minimum of 30 days to a minimum of 60 days, and that is in here. That is beneficial. There was a language put in here that dealt with the flow through characteristics of the revenue stream under a PPP or the contract and the impact on municipalities. The city of Valdez is one of those municipalities, and that is potentially beneficial, you know, certainly to them. But I saw a representative of the city of Valdez, and they said, well, there are so many other questions yet in the bill, the sweeping granting of power to commissioners, that said you ought not to do this. Taking this step would be ill-advised. And then finally, I guess I look at this bill basically as like a dead man walking. It can't possibly pass the legislature during this special session. Don't think there's any way that it can make it through the other body. And so therefore, because of the questions on the section that grant these powers and not having enough discussion on those, there's no way that it can pass into law anyway. And so with that, I'm thankful for the discussion that we had upstairs. I think that it did help to start educate us. Just like we all know now on PPP, the different terms, you know, the trigger points and the floor and the rates and things like that. The discussion upstairs that the senator and my colleague from Fairbanks overseeing the committee, there was very good discussion to help members of the joint committee to start to understand the terminology of what's going to face us in the stranded gas amendment. And I'm very thankful for that. I would have preferred to have seen it going on. It was beneficial for senators that were there, members of the committee, other members of the Senate, and I think other members or members of the other body too. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the question is, shall the Senate pass Senate Bill 2004? Members, please proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
The Senate has passed Senate Bill 2004. Senator Stevens?
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been moved. Is there debate? Seeing none, members, please proceed to vote. Has every member voted? Secretary, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, please record and tally the vote.
16 yeas, 4 nays.
Effective date clause has been passed, adopted. Thank you. That concludes our calendar, scheduled calendar. We have unfinished business. Seeing none, Senator Sedman under announcement.
Thank you. We're on unfinished business.
Pardon me.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate from AM plain time Sunday, June 11th through Saturday, June 17th. For personal and state business.
Excuse without objection. Further unfinished business? Seeing none announcement? Senator Stedman?
I'd just like to announce the conference committee on Senate Bill 2001 tomorrow morning, 8:30. We'll start at the Buttrick.
Thank you.
And then if there's any changes, I'll let the guys know.
Thank you. Senator Seekins?
Thank you, Mr. President. The Special Committee on Natural Gas Development has sponsored a roundtable tomorrow, starting at 9 in the Senate Finance Offices. All members, of course, are invited to attend as we have done in the other meetings of the committee, and we will have representatives of the administration, our consultants who are here with us today, representatives from the producers and legislators who will be able to engage in a roundtable discussion on the natural gas issue. I would encourage members to attend and to take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions where we not only just have one element of all the folks that are providing input for us, but we have virtually every element that will be there. And I have been told by the producers that each one of them will have at least one person, and maybe more, and others online that can answer pertinent questions in the roundtable discussion. Of course, our consultants will be there, and I hope that they'll all be there. One of them was ill today and may be back tomorrow. And, of course, there will also be members of the administration there to provide information as well. So it promises to be a very interesting and very informative session, and we will carry it on until you have members of the committee and members of the legislature have had an opportunity to complete the discussion. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you for the announcement. Senator Elton.
I'm not under announcements, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, I just want to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on SB 2004.
Thank you. Notice has been served for Senate Bill 2004 of reconsideration. Further announcements? Seeing none, special orders? Senator Huggins, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I know it's getting late in the evening. I request permission to leave the body to speak on a place called Juneau.
Without objection.
Thank you. I know it's late in the evening. I will not apologize, however, for holding you here for a few extra moments. A place called Juneau is not Alaska. 61 years ago, some great Americans joined by a large Allied contingent went to a place called Juneau, a place called Omaha. Thousands of them died. The British met a bridge too far. And I say to each of us, those were people that were not timid. They took bold moves. They understood the risk. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to the greatest generation. And with that, I would ask for a moment of silence for the greatest generation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you for reminding us of that, Senator Huggins. Further special orders? Seeing none, thanks, Senator Stevens.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn until 4 p.m. Wednesday, June 7th.
Thank you, Senator. Adjourned.